Fantastic. Can I encourage us? There's been some healings in this last 4 weeks or so. So where's Budgie? Can we do that? Have we done that video of your mum-in-law? We have. We've done it? Okay. And then there's some others this morning. Craig, it'd be good to get it on video. What's happening? You up for that? I'm brand new to our church. But hey, the more good news we have, the more faith we have in God, the more other people which I want to talk about this morning. And so this morning I want to talk about the supremacy of God. I got one amen. I want to talk about the supremacy of God. Amen. We're getting better. I want to talk about the supremacy of God. Amen. Yes! You know, I mean, my goodness. I mean, David knew that God was alive, and he didn't even have Jesus and hadn't even died. You know, I mean, we've got to recognize that we have a power that is far greater than any other power in this world. And so this morning I want to look at, and I won't shout the whole time, it's okay. I've just got to be excited, I know. All right, so Acts 13, let's turn in our Bibles. A passion. My actual title, David, is A Passion for the Supremacy of God. You can download our messages off our website. They're normally up within a 24-hour period. A Passion for the Supremacy of God. Acts 2:24. I want to read four scriptures to you, all from the book of Acts. Acts 2:24. However, God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life again. For death could not keep him in its grip. Acts 3:15. You killed the author of life, but God raised him to life, and we are witnesses of this fact. Acts 10:40. But God raised him to life 3 days later. Acts 13:30. But God raised him from the dead. If we're going to serve the purposes of God in our generation, we must acknowledge the supremacy of God. Now, who here this morning acknowledges that Jesus is Lord? He's Lord. He's not just someone that we believe in. He's someone that we experience. He's someone that is in relationship with us. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? There is only one true God. And when we worship Him, when we spend our time in His presence, when we pray and read our Bible, when we actually relate with God, however we feel like we can relate with Him, there's no preset like this is how you do it. There's just however you want to pray, God doesn't mind. Just speak to Him normally. It will change your world. He will rock your world. He's a good God. See, we can read all the Old Testament stories about the supremacy of God and some great things, and we think, well, that's reserved for the Bible. No, it's not. It's reserved too. It's not just reserved for the Bible. It's reserved for you and me. God wants to do miracles in our world today. God wants to use us, and He wants to show that He is supreme through you. So this morning, God desires to demonstrate His supremacy through you. And there have been so many good news stories in 2013 in this church. And we have a phrase, for those of you maybe visiting with us, we call it crossing over the chicken line. And when we cross over the chicken line, I pray for someone that may not know God. Or just say, would you mind, I'm a Christian, I'd love to pray for you, trust that God wants to heal you today. And we've had some incredible healings in our community as people have stepped over the line and done that. See, the more we do this, the more God becomes real. The church becomes alive again. The church is not dead in Australia as people think, but we've got to do our part. Who's willing to take up the task? And so what is important is what is behind. You know, last year I was talking about my friend from the gymnasium. I go to the gymnasium when I'm working normally. I'm a bit on holiday mode sort of at the moment, but come back today. And so when I'm at At the gymnasium, you know, I've been having a relationship with this young man. He actually does all our sign writing for the church. And he was saying, Nige, you know, one day he says, I need your magic hands. Because I'd prayed for him a few times before and God had healed him. I don't mind what people call it, as long as they realize that there's something in the power of God. God is at work. God is at work. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants to use you. You see, God raised him from the dead. Let's say it together. God raised him from the dead. I don't know if you get the impact of that verse quite yet. God raised him from the... What's dead? Is there anything deader than dead? Now, if God raised him from the dead, what can he do for your seemingly not so significant situation? Amen? Come on. God is supreme. And we need to start talking like that, don't we? God is the answer. God loves me. He cares for me. So when I pray, I know that there's going to be a change. So when I'm praying for a person, it happened again this morning. And sometimes people say, well, the pain's still there. It doesn't mean that God's not healing. It just means the pain's still there. It doesn't mean we just stop because is God supreme? So we keep going. And as we persevere, God starts to show that he is real in our lives. Never give up on the supremacy of God in your life. Never give up on a relationship with God. He cares. And so I want to talk this morning about the supremacy of Christ, point one. But Acts 13, 30 and 31 says this, but God raised him from the dead, and it's an exclamation mark. It's pretty powerful. You know, the apostle Paul would have written this, and he put an exclamation mark there for a reason. It's important. And he appeared over a period of many days to those who had gone with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. These are his witnesses to the people of Israel. He appeared. He was dead, and then he arose, and he appeared over a period of days. See, he desires a living relationship with us. He appeared so that we would know that he is alive, that he is real, so that we can experience his resurrection life. He is still appearing through us today as we recognize the significance of the Apostle Paul's words to us. Every day, God can appear to us. Every day. Not just Sunday. You know, I would rather prefer to be honest. I know there's times where the atmosphere is right in church, but wouldn't it be great if everyone else was praying and you had so much good news on your lips? That's where I want to head as a church. And part, I want to repeat some of this because many people, normal people of our church are on leave. We're going to make this part of our vision for this year. You know, I love the life of Paul and some of the things that he did. In Acts 13:7, on his first missionary journey. Interesting that it was his first missionary journey. You know, when you step out, there's almost always opposition. Have you ever noticed that? We could have stopped praying for people a long time ago if we thought, if every person, because, you know, not everyone gets healed. But it's worth it for those that do, isn't it? Yes, come on. He's real. And our relationship with God means is paramount, number one. We love him simply because we love him, and everything else is a benefit anyway, because he saved our soul. That's number one. But the beauty is that when we have a relationship with God and we have an ongoing walk with God, there's a lot more good things that God wants to do in our lives. And so here there's some opposition in Acts 13. And Elymas the sorcerer has attached himself in the city, town of Paphos with this governor. And he's trying to stop Paul from his first missionary journey. I like this part about Paul. He reminds me a little bit of me, I guess, because he rose up. You know, sometimes you've got to rise up in your spirit. Sometimes you've got to recognize what the devil wants to throw at us to stop us from the life of God. See, we live in the world where we're like us in Galatians, we're in slaves. But we're not slaves when we have a relationship with Christ. We can't live in the world of heaven. And we bring heaven to earth and we experience his goodness and power in our lives and transform other people's lives as well. And when that happens, which is what Paul was doing in his first missionary journey, when that happens, there's going to be some opposition. But I would ask every person, if your child's sick and it doesn't feel like, you know, just take it to home to start with. Don't give up. Just keep praying. God's going to do something strong and powerful. Never give up on God. First and foremost, this year, 2014, never give up on God. I'm not going to give up on God. It's a good thing to say. It's a good thing to say over your life. I know God is real. I know God's alive. And so here's this Elymas, the sorcerer, and Paul's just about had enough because he goes, well, I'm not going to get anywhere if I can't get this governor to come on side and let me preach the word of God in his city. And so he says, in the name of Jesus, I you evil thing, you all the stuff that you're doing, and a mist comes over, not literally over Charlie, and a mist comes over Elymas' eyes, for a time, it says. He was blinded. Just became blinded. The governor looks at Paul and goes, wow, that's pretty cool. God must be real. And it changed the circumstances of Paul's missionary journey from that point forward, and miracle after miracle after miracle happened. There was opposition too. Then what about the shipwreck? Later on in Acts, and there was great opposition, and even a snake came and left. But he just kept believing that Christ was Lord of his life. Look at this in Acts 13, verse 12. When the governor saw what had happened, he believed and was astonished at what he learned about the Lord. So in other words, they must have spent some time together, and he goes, well, I'm convinced. I'm going to have a relationship with God. See, when you're in the God zone, God shows his supremacy. We have to believe, don't we? We must keep believing that God is alive and for us. Now, Paul was completely familiar with what happened to Elymas because exactly the same thing had happened to him. Exactly. He was doing all the things against the believers at that time and was on his way to Jerusalem to, you know, pretty much imprison them all and probably kill them. And a blindness came upon him and he couldn't see. We've got to be careful that we don't become blind to the things that God wants to use us for. And it's very easy. And sometimes the Lord will do something like this. And for a reason in the Bible, and I just want to talk about it for a moment because, maybe I'll explain it this way. It was a funny story, sort of, bit of both. My mum told me this just before Christmas. My mum's, I think she's 73, is that right, Jared? I think she, I don't know. Anyway, 73, 74, but she's still pretty active, pretty alive, and she lives north of the river. And next door to her, in our old house actually, Andrea, my old house, where my wife was the one who did the emceeing first thing this morning, it's now in kids' church. And she lives next door to a couple of people. One's deaf, completely deaf, and the other one is completely blind. The deaf and the blind help each other. And so the deaf person is the blind person's eyes. And you know what happens? Blind people, they're really good hearing. And so they actually help one another out. But something sad really happened. And Mum was telling me that due to some, it sounds like government bureaucracy, I don't know. But anyway, the blind person had to leave. And it was almost like, well, if you can't hear, you can still get around. You can still do life. But if you can't see, it's actually really difficult. And there was this pining going on because they were like for one another. It was like they were like one together, and separating them was just like crazy. And so every day, the deaf person who was still at the house would come to mum and say, "What are we going to do?" And this went on and on. Now I'm hearing that good news might be in the, and they're going to reunite because it's just such a tragedy. So that'll be good. But look, I've got to point to this somewhere. I'll find it for you. Because there are seemingly hopeless situations that are a part of many lives around us. And so many people are blind to the good news, and we can be too. And so we need church together because it helps us lead one another into good news, yeah? Not only that, but there's more. God desires to use us to demonstrate his supremacy. You know, God desires to use each one of us to demonstrate his supremacy. He desires to give us directions. He desires to give us guidance, good news. He desires to use us. We simply have to take what little faith or as much faith as we have. We don't have to have a lot. And simply take a risk in God. Would you mind if I prayed for you? That's what it was like when I prayed for my friend at the gymnasium last year. The first time it happened, I was like, "I hope no one's watching." He goes, "Well, put your hand on my heart or do something, will you, Nigel?" I'm like, "Really? You know? I mean, we do it in church, but he's kind of asking me because he kind of already got it." Sometimes the devil wants to stop us from realizing what God wants to do in our world. Is God supreme in your life? Come on. Is God supreme in your life? Will God be more supreme in 2014 than 2013? Will you take more risks in God this year with others and pray for people in 2014 and allow the supremacy of God to change someone's understanding of who God really is in their life? Second, our passion. Acts 13, verse 32. "And now Barnabas and I are here to bring you this good news." My goodness. "And now Charlie and I are here to bring you this good news. And now Shane and David are here to bring you this good news. And now Janelle and Jared are here to bring you good news." Everyone's here this morning. I won't go on. You get the point. Do you really believe that this morning? Do you really believe that this morning? Do you really believe that this morning? Richard, do you believe that this morning? Alvin, we are here to bring good news, right, Dom? We are here to bring his good news. The promise was made to our ancestors. It's the same today. God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and? It's impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Death cannot contain him. And yet we walk around as though half the time we're half dead. Do we not? Oh, you know, people will talk to us and they'll tell us some of their situations and we just cast it off. There's a moment there where God can bring good news. He's the best news. And our good news is based on the fact that we have a relationship with God. You know, if we're not in a constant relationship with God, it's very difficult to be in the good news zone. Would you agree? We need a relationship with God to stay in the good news zone. Good news is going to keep coming to us as we relate with him. He brings freedom and hope to an otherwise dying generation. See, when you have this kind of passion, nothing's impossible. Nothing. Nothing's impossible. I mean, my goodness. Let's look at Saul and David for a moment. Saul's cowering, the Bible actually says. He's cowering in defeat. That's what the Bible says. So if the leader is cowering in defeat, what's everyone else doing? What are they doing? If the leader's cowering in defeat, what are everyone else doing in that situation? They're all cowering in defeat. Every one of them. David's out. He comes back in just to give his brothers some food. And he finds out what's happening. He's killed a lion and a bear just to look after his father's sheep. And then the Philistine, Goliath, comes forward and says, "I defy the armies of Israel." And David, in his spirit, rose up. There are times when we need to rise up in our spirit. And the supremacy of God took a hold of him. And he said, "Saul, I've got to get at this guy. This guy, he's coming against the armies of the living God." Was this situation before David came onto the scene, how bad was it? How bad was it? It was the worst, wasn't it? It was like, what are we going to do day after day, day after day? "I defy the armies of the..." He'd come out. David didn't mess about. He couldn't wear Saul's armor. He simply gets his, what he's used to. He grabs his sling. One shot, bang, he's on the ground. He's still alive. Didn't have a sword. Grabs what? Goliath's big sword out. Somehow manages to... Blood goes everywhere. Here's his head. What happened? What happened at that moment to the enemy? He fled. He fled. When we stand and we stand and we stand for the supremacy of God, he will flee. Keep standing. He will flee. God wants to give us inner resolve. A substance that is called faith. Faith in the greatest measure cannot be shaken. See, Saul refused to acknowledge God in his life. He had had moments. But when it counted, the Lord said this of him. So he was given opportunities. And you know we're all given the same opportunities, aren't we? We can have a victim mentality, but the point is that we all have opportunities. We all have the same opportunities in God. It's what we make of them. God doesn't want us to simply have moments of being with him like Saul. He wants us to be with him. The reason why they were cowering in defeat because Saul was no longer with him. Are you with Jesus today? You might be a Christian, but are you really with Jesus? Are you with him today? See, when you're with him, you're not cowering in the corner in defeat. You could be facing some big problems, and I understand that. We all face some pretty serious issues at times. But we shouldn't bury our head in the sand. We've got to be asking God for his direction. We never give up on God. So that you can defeat the powers of darkness coming against your life, the people, his church, so that the good news can spread, we must rise up in our spirit. See, David was decisive. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Be more decisive in 2014. Let your no be no and your yes be yes," the Bible says, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Well, if it says that, why do you go, "Oh, I don't know. I might keep my options open." Lynette's helping me preach this morning. It's all good. Who will you be? Come on. It's his battle, not ours. That's what David said. He said it when he's about to go before Goliath. He says it's his battle. He never saw it as a natural battle. And too often we see things as natural, but they're not. If we know God, most of the time we're going to have some spiritual battles going on. I'm not saying there's a devil under every bush. I'm not saying that at all. But how many times do we, if Jesus is Lord of our life, how many times do we actually put it in our spirits and in our hearts and go, you know what? It really is his battle. It's not mine. Who thinks we could do more of that this year? Thirdly, we are responsible for our generation. Oh, it went awfully quiet. We are responsible. If it were not for David and his walk with the Lord, the Israelites would have been overrun by the Philistines. If you do not have a solid walk with the Lord, you are going to be overrun by the world that you live in, and you will live a defeated life rather than your best life. Acts 13:34, there's a really interesting scripture. It says this, I will give you the sacred blessings I promised to David. And we have a choice to make on whether we will be given to a life of purpose for God. Anything less is less. We have a choice to make for the purposes of God. Who's with me this morning? Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen for the life of your soul. This is David talking in Isaiah 55 verse 3. Let me start again. Isaiah 55 verse 3. We can put it up on the screen. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen for the life of your soul is at stake. I am ready to make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the mercies and unfailing love that I promised to David. The lineage of Jesus is through David. Our soul prospers as we determine in our hearts to have a relationship with the Lord. And when we make him Lord, he becomes supreme in our thought life, and we truly have his salvation throughout our life. See, salvation isn't just a once-off. Salvation is ongoing. Every day we can be grateful for what God has saved us from. Some of the things that could have happened in other people's lives or in our families, in our sons' daughters' lives, God can save them from it because we believe in the supremacy of God. Second Samuel 7 verse 22, David says this, how great you are, O sovereign Lord. That's a good saying, isn't it? How great you are, O sovereign Lord. There is no other God. In other words, God is absolutely supreme. Will you believe with me today that God is absolutely supreme in your life? He's absolutely supreme. And he's not just a little bit supreme. He doesn't just have part of my day. And it doesn't mean we have to be in his presence every moment of every day, but he's already there anyway. Do you know what I'm saying? He's absolutely supreme in everything, of every part of our life. Day in, day out, he is supreme. He is the greatest of all beings. Who's with me this morning? He is the greatest of all beings. He's not just a being, he's the greatest of all beings. He is the first and the last. There is none like him. So I want to ask you a question. Janelle, you might as well. Please, come and help me. Thank you. How great is God in your world? Acts 13:36 says this, after David had served his generation, he died. There's more to that verse, I know, but the point I wish to make is that David served his generation by acknowledging and living the supremacy of God over his life. Is he supreme in your thought life and in your actions? Certain things we don't do in this world because Jesus is supreme. God is supreme. Do you have the passion of David? Is your soul prospering through your walk with God? See, we can often be more like Saul because our relationship's drifted. We can't have the good news and the supremacy of God unless we have a walk with Him. Unless we can relate with Him. Unless we start to defeat some of the enemies that come against us. Let's start making a difference in our world. Let's start turning up the heat on an enemy who's already defeated anyway. And let's live in the supremacy of Christ. And Paul says in Acts 13:37, which is really the crux of it, I guess, it is a reference to someone else, someone whom God raised and whose body did not decay. Which leads us back to the start of what I was saying. God raised Him from the dead. We have Christ in our lives. He is supreme. He is the victor. Nothing in our life is greater than our walk and relationship with Christ, and that we can experience His good news every day. You know, God is depending on every one of us for this generation. Let's pray. Father, I pray. We pray, Lord, together, that we would be Your people. Lord, that we wouldn't just have an existence of a life. Lord, that we wouldn't just rock up to work every day. Lord, help us to make a difference and bring good news to other people's lives. Father, I pray that we would bring good news to our families, to our friends. Lord, let the supremacy of Christ, supremacy of God, rule in our hearts and lives. The people of God said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of C3 Fremantle this morning. If you're on holidays, thanks for visiting. We wish you a great rest of your stay. I think the cafe is open, so we can see you in the cafe. God bless. We won't worry about a song. I think we'll let you enjoy the rest of your morning.